Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Good morning. Welcome to the Cone Phone. I'm the Cone. You're the phone. The phone isn't either one of us. I'm Grant. Welcome here. I'll be taking your calls for the next hour, and my thought process for the show is that it's a week past the draft. It's a week before rookie minicamp. You guys are welcome to call in and talk about what happened last week, look to the past, or look to the future. Which draft picks did you like? Which draft picks did you not like? Big picture, was it a good draft? And what are you eager to see in rookie minicamp, which is next week? So whoever wants to call in, click the link in the description. Rookie minicamp's a big one. I remember when I was at rookie minicamp 2017, George Kittle looked really good. George Kittle was catching passes all offseason as a rookie, and it was clear that he was going to be a starter. You can sort of tell who's going to step up in these practices. Dante Pettis was a second-round pick. He struggled in rookie minicamp big time and had a really tough career with the 49ers and was gone pretty quickly. That just shows you how important these practices are. They reveal. So let's take some calls. Alan, you're first. How you doing, Alan?
Hey, Grant, how you doing? Long time no see, man.
Long time no see. How you doing?
Doing good. How's things with you, man?
Pretty good. I would have to say pretty good. Yeah, thanks for asking.
It's not as good as last year, though. I know that. I know you miss, you know, that controversy at times.
Oh, well, Ricky Pearsall controversy is just getting started.
Yeah, it's not as much as it was a whole lot of last year with the quarterback situation.
It's true. Like, that was a lot.
Like who was great today and stuff, like who has what and stuff like that. You know, it's not as bad as it was last year.
Yeah. Do you miss it? The controversy?
No, not at all.
No.
You don't think there's a
quarterback controversy between Brock Purdy and Josh Dobbs? I mean, geez. Dobbs.
No, I think there's one for, was it Brian Allen and that rookie quarterback we just signed?
Tanner Mordecai?
Yeah.
Is that one thing? Are you eager to hear about Tanner Mordecai? At the rookie minicamp.
Yeah, you know, Greg, you should try to phrase that as a QB controversy right there. Like, who is the best between the two?
Be happy we got rid of Sam Darnold.
Yeah, you should be happy no more Sam Darnold.
Alan, remember when Kyle Shanahan said that he knew within a week or two that Brock Purdy was the best quarterback on the team after watching practice? Maybe we'll know that Tanner Mordecai is the best quarterback on the team a week or two. If Kyle can see it, maybe we should be able to see just how good he is, right?
Or probably the next Matt Ryan, or, you know, like the next greatest big thing, you know, from Sam Darnold.
He's going to throw a lot of passes at rookie minicamp. It's going to be a big feature for him. I can't wait to see that. Tanner Mordecai. You know, he's older than Brock Purdy?
Yeah, I've seen that. He's about 25, 26.
He's a month older than Brock. No, he's just a month older than Brock. Yeah.
There's this one tight end. I don't know if you ever seen this, but there's a tight end right now that's entering his, like, eighth season in college football. It's the crazy stuff. Yeah. But I think the one that I'm intrigued to see is that corner we drafted, Green.
Green.
I know he gets a little handsy. I like guys that, you know, play physical and stuff. That's what I like about the Niners, you know, they play physical and stuff. But I like to see how he matches up with Ricky and Crowdy. To see how
that's going
to
be one heck of a matchup. It's going to start a rookie minicamp. And remember, you're not supposed to do press coverage in camp, OTAs, any of it. So let's see what Renardo Green without can do without using his hands.
Mm-hmm. And you seen clips of him locking up neighbors. So he went against big name guys at in the college level. So we could see. Let's see if he can do the same in rookie mini camp without, you know, like you said, hands on stuff.
Yeah, because if he's good and ready, then he has a path to make an actual impact this year.
Where do you see him being? Do you see him being in the slot or outside? Because I know people are disgusting. I know Larry's been talking about he seems like a slot kind of guy, or he should.
I kind of think he should be in the slot too. I know he played both. He played outside the last couple of years. He just seems like he has more of like the physical profile of a slot cornerback. He doesn't have 4.3 speed. And I feel like to play man-to-man coverage on the outside, you either need to be 6'1 with like low 4.4 speed like Travarius Ward, or you have to have real 4.3 speed, because how do you play man-to-man coverage against every wide receiver if there's just some who can run by you? So I don't know. I know he's physical and stuff, but he also commits a lot of penalties. I think he's running like a 4.49.
Yeah, pretty something good. Like that.
Pretty good.
I feel like we haven't had a solid slot corner. I think you know this from since Kwan Williams.
Well, they had Jimmy Ward play the position for a little while too. He was pretty good.
Yeah, and
if you look at his physical profile, like what he tested at the combine and then what Renardo Green tested at the combine, they're very similar athletically.
Mm-hmm.
So curious. But yeah, I want to see him against Ricky Pearsall. I think that's going to be an interesting matchup. And Green won that matchup in college, so I'm curious to see what happens in the pros. It's kind of embarrassing if the first round pick doesn't win that one, but maybe it's just the second round pick's that good.
And then to reverse the question, who are you excited to see with this rookie mini camp coming up?
Pearsall. All eyes on the first round pick time. Are you that guy?
Another quick question. Do you try analyze any of the linemen throughout this process? Because I know you said this is when they just pretty much do vanilla stuff.
In OTAs and minicamp, they won't be wearing pads. So it's more like seeing how the Niners are using them, what team they're on, like first, second, third team, and what position they're playing. And then training camp, when they put the pads on and they start doing the one-on-one drills and the 11-on-11, I think that's a better time to evaluate them. So you can get some information, but not a lot.
Okay.
What do they look like? How do they move?
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
Like you said, as long as they know Dante Pettis, man, it's as long as we don't have none of those.
Going over the middle. The pass was a little high. And instead of like jumping and fully extending for it, he did that little like half jump, one hand kind of deal. And it's like, this is a non-contact practice. You can't get hit. And your instinct was to not go for it. Well, I felt like that was instructive.
What happens if you start seeing Ricky doing some crazy stuff?
He's not supposed to do that, right? He's the guy who made the one-handed catch in traffic. He's supposed to be a super tough guy. So I want it. I expect him to look good in rookie minicamp. Like Danny Gray looked good in rookie minicamp. Go back and look at the report from that day. He did. He had a touchdown down the left sideline.
Do you see him making the roster at this point?
Danny Gray?
How things? Yeah. Do you see him making the roster? The ways are shaking. Things are shaking.
Nope. Absolutely not. I think the six wide receivers who will make the team will be Ayuk, Debo, Jennings, Pearsall, Cowing, and Ronnie Bell.
Danny
Gray would have to beat out one of those guys.
I think they keep seven receivers.
You think so? Maybe. Yeah. They could.
Maybe Kyle's been listening to you and start passing the ball more.
Maybe. Hopefully. Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully. All right, Alan. Good call, dude.
Have a good one. Thank you.
All right. Have a good one, man. All right, Korean Niner, you were going to be one, but then you felt you disappeared. Now you're back. How you doing?
I'm good. I had to get a cough drop. Throat's a little scratchy, so.
It happens, man. How you feeling?
Not too bad. Got sick over last weekend, so as they say, such is, and we've got to get away, work through it. So I'm trying not to get worse, like Kyle said about the draft this past, during that press conference. I'm like,
that was inspirational,
who's this?
Right?
That's a great captain of a ship. We're like, hey, at least we're not, you know, taking on water and, you know, the ship's going to capsize. It's like, really? I mean, I agree with your dad. Your dad said, who says that? Who are you trying to motivate? So you're saying that you want the team just to be at the level you are? That means you're just good enough for a Super Bowl appearance, not actually trying to win it by that.
Yeah, game. I agree. And what's crazy is like people our age who grew up with Eddie DeBartolo and Al Davis know that those owners would have flipped out if their coach said something like that. But I think the reason Kyle can say it out loud in public is because Jed's giving him the green light. I mean, it's he came out before the Super Bowl and said the season was a success. It's not, as long as they're a high level team, Jed's happy. And you can see what the way they operated in the draft this year. Like, keep this thing going. This is a successful operation. Keep it going in the future. It's like, nah, success is measured in trophies and rings, not just, you know, how many people you have in the, how many playoff games you have and how many people you have in the stands.
Yeah, I mean, Eddie wouldn't accept this for a second. He would say, I thought I was paying you guys to contend for championships, not just, you know, this is our first appearance in a Super Bowl, you know, just being happy to be there. No one wants to hear and say that. So,
the way he prefaced it too is like, look, everyone wants to get better. But the reality is, it's going to be kind of hard for us to get better. So why don't we just not get worse? It's like, dude, that will kind of, you're not the best team in the league. You're barely the best team in the NFC last year. The Lions found a way to get better. The Chiefs found a way to get better. And you came into the draft being like, we can't even find that. Like, let's not even look. It's kind of like when they, 6 years ago, 7 years ago, when they were like, you know what? We don't need to draft a quarterback, so let's not even scout these guys. I don't know.
The one thing I found unforgivable in the draft was when they traded pick 63 to Kansas City so they could get another offensive tackle to protect Patrick Mahomes. I'm like, what in the world are you doing? You're allowing the team that knocked you, prevented you from getting a Super Bowl twice to get better. Same with Buffalo. I'm like, what are you guys doing? You're allowing them to get a weapon when you traded that first round pick to Kansas City. I understand.
It would be Buffalo, kind of interesting to. Sorry, go ahead.
I know Buffalo is in salary cap trouble this season, or they're having difficulties with the cap, and they traded back. I can understand you wanting to trade back. I understand that, but you're doing that to Kansas City, a team that's, you know, beating you for a chance to make a Super Bowl. I don't understand that. So I don't know why.
It would be kind of interesting for like to go back and look at all the offensive tackles the Shanahans have drafted, like going back to Washington. I know they drafted Trent Williams. It's kind of like drafting Nick Bosa. He was the consensus Hall of Famer coming out of college. Who else have they drafted at that position? On the Niners, four players in eight drafts, and none of them are particularly good. I mean, they've fit the system or been serviceable. They could play with them or they haven't ruined things, but that's the most you could say about McKivitz or McGlinchey. And then they had Justin School in there too. Like, what are they looking for? How come none of the offensive tackles ever fit their, you know, suit them when it suits the Chiefs, who just win, what, two Super Bowls? I don't understand.
Yeah, I mean, I thought we were looking, trying to find difference makers or someone who's better than who is currently on the roster. Colt McKivitz, right. Nice. I appreciate everything he's doing, but I think he's upgradable. You can upgrade from him.
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking, like, say what you want about Kingsley Suamataya, but, like, he's better than Colton McKivitz. And, again, if someone who would disagree with that, what does Colton McKivitz do well? Like, the Niners don't run to the right. They don't run behind him practically ever. And when they do, it doesn't go so well. And then when they pass, there's Kittle helping him out with a chip or running back helping him out. I mean, they're constantly running away from him or helping him. Couldn't they do better?
I think so. To me, you're just showing that you have a glaring weakness on the right side of your offensive line. That's just like trying to hide a sore thumb.
Like with at least the he was really a great runner when he was like 26 years old. McKivitz, I don't get it. It's not like you're even getting so. With Kingsley Suamataya, if he doesn't fit their run scheme, okay, well, maybe he's good in pass protection, though. I don't get it. McKivitz might fit your run scheme, but he's not good at blocking, so what's the deal?
Yeah.
I don't know. Sorry, Colton.
One other thing I could think of is, in the first round, you didn't take the best player available. If you got Johnny Newton out of Illinois, at least you could justify it to us.
Like Adam Peters did.
That's what Adam Peters did. I mean –
Yeah.
That kind of thinking on the 49ers right now is like, what are you guys thinking? You just can't look over the most obvious things. It's like, if you can't say that I'm not feeling a need with this player, I'm just going to take the best player available and have him compete for a spot and playing time.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Good call, man.
One last question for you.
Go ahead.
Have you tried any of those ramen ideas?
No, I need to do that today. Can you remind me? I was just thinking about that yesterday. Tell me again what you put in fancy ramen.
On occasion, two eggs.
Two eggs.
Scallion.
Eggs for sure.
Green onion.
Scallion. That's nice.
And slice up a hot dog. It's already kind of cooked, but you understand.
I like that. I like that. A little protein. Did you try what I said, though? Just one drop of sesame oil.
We've done that before. We put in two drops. That's where
two drops. If you put in three or four, it's too much.
It's too much.
It's way too much. Anyway, I'll try the hot dog.
And only scallion. Toothpaste, since it's all salt, more or less.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because you could all save that. So, all right.
Good call. Good to see you. See you next time.
Yep.
All right. Now we got a baller coming on the show. A Bay Area baller. Number 18. Oh, yeah.
What's up, G?
Nice hat.
Hey, you know who it is. It's the GOAT. Got the GOAT on the cap.
The GOAT.
Barry
Bonds. No, it's not Ricky Henderson.
Hey, I bumped into Ricky Henderson in Berkeley. I was driving on the street. I had to slam on the brakes. And I saw Ricky. He was loading stuff in his SUV. Cool. And I was like, hey, Ricky, you're a legend, bro. I didn't know what the hell to say, but I had to see Ricky on the street. You got to say something. Hey, but Grant, I want to know, are you team Kendrick or are you team Drake?
I think this whole thing is whack, but I'm not team Drake. I'm definitely not team Drake, and I do like some songs by Kendrick. So I'm glad that he's finally like ending that guy's career. It's long overdue. But I just feel like this is all marketing and promotion. Like, they realize that if they do this, people like us will talk about it on their podcast and they'll get free market. So I don't want to do it. Like, good for Kendrick. Go ahead. Do your thing. And I don't like Drake, but I don't need to talk. We don't need to talk about him. I don't like it. I'd rather talk about rappers from the Bay that don't get enough love, you know?
Facts. Facts.
More conversation about Drake and Kendrick. Like, no.
Well, why don't we give the people the real scouting report on some of these guys? Okay.
Yeah.
So let's kick it off with Ricky Pearsall, right? When you're watching Pearsall, it jumps out. I mean, he's a crisp route runner, right? Mm-hmm. He's got all the head fakes, the shoulder fakes, like the route running looks good. That being said, Grant, first round, like the players you see him comp to, right? Who Adam Thielen, undrafted, Julian Edelman, seventh round pick. Like, it felt rich. Usually round one, you're gonna draft a receiver. Like, I want that alpha, you know, height, weight, speed, kind of can do it all. The X receiver, like, that's not Ricky. That being said, I don't hate the pick, you know, because I like the route running. That being said, you know why they picked him, Grant? It's because Kyle was able to see him run all the routes that he likes to use. Like, he
and ran, you can't see that from a lot of wide receivers in college. No.
No. Like Xavier Leggett, the guy who went one pick later, right? Who looks, you know, he looks more dominant, right? Physically appealing. But the guy, he caught zero slant routes all year. He caught zero slants. And, like, that's a staple of the Kyle Shanahan offense. So Kyle was probably watching it like, oh, this guy didn't run a slant route. We're going to cross him off. But with Ricky,
of course,
you saw him do it.
Of course. And that's the difference between a coach drafting and, like, someone like Adam Peters. Adam Peters would draft someone and say, oh, Kyle, coach him up. Where Kyle's looking at it like, he can't do something really important in my scheme. I'm not risking it.
I want to give you
one thing. So you end up taking a spot receiver in round one who's about 186 pounds, and he has 30-inch arms. He might be really good, but I don't know if he's going to be good enough to warrant that pick. We'll see.
I'm going to give you one thing to watch for at Ricky minicamp with these guys, because with Ricky, please, I want you to see how he gets off press, because we know he ran fast. He ran the 4.41. That's like 87th percentile for wide receivers, but his 10-yard split, Grant, was sub 50 percentile. Like, it was a 1.57 or something. The 10-yard split wasn't very good. It was
interesting. So he builds speed.
Yes. So yeah. just keep he's an eye ex- on that. He's not
explosive like Debo. Debo's very quick.
I didn't see him, you know, as soon as the ball snapped, I didn't see him accelerating at the line, you know, to really kind of blow by a guy. So let me know how he's getting off press. But
Well, real quick, just to remind you, they're not allowed to press. If they press, they get in trouble and they'll lose OTA days.
Right.
But eventually we'll find out. Yeah. Lenore did that. Remember, he pressed. He put it on. Is it rookie minicamp? I think he did it at. Yeah. So maybe they'll do it, and I'll have to covertly talk about it. Probably not, though.
No, don't do that. Don't out.
I don't want to get him in trouble.
No, yeah, we don't want that. But Renardo Green, right, the second pick, the corner. What I like about him, you know, he's sticky in man coverage. You know, everyone knows that he was really good against Malik Nabers, held him to two catches in that LSU game. He's a good tackler. He's super competitive is what I saw watching Renardo Green. Like, he's ultra competitive, but sometimes it comes back to bite him because he gets too handsy. He does not want his receiver to catch the ball, and you just feel that. So he kind of – he grabs, he latches on. I want you to watch him in minicamp to see if – should he be getting flagged? Is he being too handsy out there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, keep an eye on that.
I'll definitely watch that. Yeah.
Yeah, please.
They do have referees out there. They do have officials, so they'll throw flags.
Oh, good, good. And then I like the Dominic Puny pick. I think he's really good. He's got as soon as you watch the film at Kansas, you just see the wide body. Like, if you're going to beat Puny, you got to take the long route to get around him. He's got that Aaron Banks build. So, you know, I did watch him versus Texas, and I thought he held up really well. Texas had a really good D line. So I like what I've seen so far.
I want to see just what position they have him play. Like, is he playing left guard, right guard? I'm curious to see if they have him at right guard.
Yeah.
Are they fast tracking him on the field? Because none of these players, it's possible none of these rookies will start, but maybe they want randomly one of them to. Remember, Spencer Burford randomly was like with the first team all rookie year. Maybe they'll be Puny.
It could be. Yeah, no, I like Puny. And then we'll round. I'm not going to hit all these guys, but the last guy I want to touch on is Mustafa, the safety, because watching his tape, there were some things I loved and some stuff I didn't love. First, let me tell you things I liked. The way this guy triggers against the run to get downhill, like, he explodes downhill. His acceleration's phenomenal. You know, it's reminiscent of like a Bob Sanders. I'm trying to, is he Bob Sanders or is he Carl Joseph? Or is he somewhere in between? Because he's short, he's thick, he's got that.
But theoretically, he's going to help the run game, the run defense when he comes in?
Yes. He's a run defender. And that leads to my concern. Yeah. And what I want you to watch for is his coverage. Yeah. Because I saw at Wake Forest, Grant, I saw him guarding a lot of grass, like in zone coverage. Okay. He's covering grass out there. Like, I watched him versus Pitt, the first touchdown, you know, the receiver's running a post route right into his zone. And he's just like tunnel vision at the quarterback. And it's like, dude, there's someone running right next to you. Like, pick him up. Yeah. So the zone coverage is something, you know, I'm still watching these guys and learning more. But so far, I love him against the run. He's aggressive. He's quick. He plays downhill. But in coverage, Grant, he's covering a lot of grass out there.
It'll be interesting. I mean, they have a year to coach him up. He's not going to start right away. They have Talanoa for another year. But it's going to be interesting to see how they use him. Like, physically, he's similar to Dante Whitner. And again, Brandon Staley's here. He's a Vic Fangio disciple. And I wonder if they're sort of, like Staley's sort of looking at these players through a Fangio lens and seeing him like, I'm back. Can you see me? As a potential Dante Whitner, like, 2.0 kind of guy. Jimmy Ward's here too. It's interesting. Yeah. Like, the new DBs they've gotten have kind of, I wonder. Curious to see how Brandon Staley's going to change his defense. Is he going to use that star position?
Yeah, that's why I wanted Cooper, man, round one. I was hoping it was Cooper because I thought he could be kind of that slot, that star, kind of do it all. But hey, what's done is done. Ricky was the pick. But Grant, that's all I got for you. Hey, you know, I love to shout out the chat. Your chat's always live. Hey, check me out. You know, Monday I'm going live with Krug. So I got Krug coming on. We're going to break down these draft picks further in depth. So I'd love to have some more people hop over there. But Grant, hey, you're the man. Appreciate you. And, you know, we'll talk soon.
Talk soon, man. Appreciate you. Great call. All right. East Dad, it's your turn. You're up next. How you doing, East Dad?
Hey, how are you, Grant? It's great to be up here, man. I'm actually at work, so I'm not going to take a lot of time. But basically, I just am so annoyed with the whole Shanahan regime and everything. I mean, Ricky Pearsall is a great pick. I'm not going to lie. And I do like what Bay Area Baller was saying about Mustafa. And, you know, but for the most part, I'm just so annoyed with the fact that they keep ignoring the fact that they need a right tackle.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? I mean, why do they do that? I don't get it.
I almost feel like it's a quirk of Kyle Shanahan. Like, if enough people tell him what to do, he won't do it.
Right.
Is that not exactly. Something like that? Yeah.
The guy is super duper hard-headed. I don't get him sometimes. I mean, he really is in his bag, and he won't share it with anyone. You know, he's a weird guy. He's a weird guy. I mean, I've been a Niners fan
on certain things for strange reasons. I don't understand, but he'll begin for certain things for strange reasons.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, I'm not going to take much of your time because I am at work and I don't want to abuse my privileges. But the fact Please being, you them. Know, yeah, man. I mean, I've been a 49ers fan since 84, man, and you know, it just annoys me to see this entire regime keep making the same mistakes, close but no cigar. Jeez, let me just say one last thing. Grant, I always love your commentary, always love how you put things together as far as letting us be informed about things, all football, and you're great, man. I appreciate being up here. But let me get off, and because I don't have anything to say about the draft picks and so on and so forth. It was a pleasure to be up here, man. Keep doing your thing, man. Much respect to you.
All right, East Dad. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right.
Let's take a little interlude to do some sleeper picks, and then again, you guys want to call in? Just put the link in the description.
Oh.
All right. Let's get some sleeper picks. Here we go. Okay. All right. Game tonight, Minnesota and Denver. 3-2. First game of the series. Jokic and Anthony Edwards, two faces of the NBA. 28.5 points for Anthony Edwards. He had 40 last game, 36 the game before that. It's game one, 28.5 points. I'm saying more. What do you guys in the chat think? Help me out. More for Anthony Edwards. That's a good pick. So far, I've done really... Let me show you my picks real quick. I've won two. The last one, I got it right with Brunson and Embiid, but Brooke Lopez didn't make a three, and Middleton had 14 points, and I just didn't... The one before was just terrible. Look at this one. Doncic didn't get the triple-double, got that right, but I got everything else wrong. All the baseball picks, all of them wrong. So, ooh, look at this one. It was 0-3 on that one. Jokic, Anthony Davis, and LeBron James. Let's see if I can do better this time. This means a lot to me. I want to get these right. Jokic. Okay, 28.5 points for Jokic. Interesting. 25 in the last game. Yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do less for Jokic. Michael Porter, Jamal Murray, Rudy Gobert. Man, Michael Conley's on this team. Aaron Gordon, he's in the Bay Area. How about rebounds for Aaron Gordon? 7.5. Yeah, he's getting more than 7.5 rebounds for sure. I went to college with his brother, Drew Gordon. That's a true story. Used to hang out with him. It's true. All right. Dre Barry, you're up next. I got to make one more pick. It's really important. Michael Porter Jr. Points. Oh, yeah, for sure. More. Those are my picks. Locking it in. You want to play? Download the app. Use promo code COHN. Get a deposit match up to $500. 100%. That's incredible. Hold on. Oh, Dre Barry's gone. Gary, you're up.
Hey, how what's doing, up, Gary? Grant? I'm good.
Good
how are you?
I'm okay.
I haven't called in a while. Our scheduling's been kind of sporadic, so it's good to finally talk to you again.
Hey, turn down your laptop a little bit. I'm hearing
you. I'm shutting it off right now.
Okay.
Is that better? Okay. Can you hear me fine now?
Yeah.
Okay. Just making sure.
Okay.
I'm as big as a critique to Kyle as you are. Most 99% of the time, I agree with everything that you say because I say the same thing. But I have to give him credit this year in the draft. That how long have we been without corners? The whole time they've been there, and we finally at least addressed a lot of stuff that we needed to. I don't necessarily agree with the actual picks, but even if none of them worked out, I'm satisfied in the fact that they at least tried to address them. Yeah, like the other guy said, we didn't address the right tackle. We all know that, but this is the first time it seems like that we really dug in and tried to get some corners. So, and we needed that. We need help.
Definitely. It was good to see them take a corner so high, for sure.
Because what has these teams learned against us when they play us like Buffalo, Kansas City? Just throw the ball. If we can't shut you down in the secondary, you guys, all you have to do is complete passes. And that's how you have to win the
game. I think also like the Niners saw the value of corners. Like the Chiefs had L'Jarius Sneed and Trent McDuffie, and that was enough to win the game.
Yes.
Like, they just absolutely owned their matchups. Man to man.
Yes. That's what you need.
Yeah.
And I look at it differently. When you go in these later rounds and pick up these guys, they're gonna be more thirsty. They wanna get paid. So they're gonna you know that as well as I do. Mozart was a poster child of that. He bounced around from team to team to team to team. And then when he got to San Francisco, they made something out of him. So those are typically the guys that are you're more willing to take a shot on because they have a drive behind them. That's why nobody
Interested to see. You know, I want to see a lot. I'm really interested to see at rookie minicamp.
What's that?
Jacob Cowing.
Yeah.
The second wide receiver, the other wide receiver. He's like 5'8".
Well, a lot of people are giving us props on that pick. They said that, you know, we haven't seen him, so we don't know.
He actually produced in college consistently at a young age as opposed to Ricky. I really want to see what Cowing looks like. Because often the Niners will take two players at the same position in the draft, and the second one is usually better.
Exactly. Yep.
You know? They both play in the slot. Cowing's got 4.3 speed. I want to see what he looks like. He might
That's
be
That's what I want to see. Yes, yeah. You're right.
Yep.
I figure I got to give them, you know, we got to tell them when they're doing bad, so we got to tell them when they're doing good. And I was just satisfied that at least for once, it seems like they address some needs that we don't have a lot of needs, but I mean, think about this as a whole picture. Okay. We addressed a lot of needs that we needed in the draft. We got rid of we'll call them people that weren't producing. Okay. Kinlaw's gone. Eric Armstead's gone. Eric Armstead, this was probably his best year he ever had by far. And it was just okay. So getting rid of like a lot of this dead weight, I think, and I'm sorry to use that term, but I think getting rid of a lot of that dead weight opens up opportunity for us to try to get somebody better, because we all know that those were needs. Chase Young. See, that was a good gamble on that, because we knew that, you know, either way that went, that was going to be okay with us. Mm-hmm. But yeah, clearing that dead weight and getting that gone, we got to get some better people in there, obviously. And that's what this game is all about, is you to try to fill the needs of your holes that you have. And
all right, Gary,
if you're not available, then you're not, you're not helping the team out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, good call, Gary. Thanks a lot. I appreciate
it. Hey, real quick, you get over here, Dave, cause we're in Indy. So, I don't know if you ever come over here for the combine, but if you do, you need to hit us up. I'm Alan's dad. Remember, we're the wholesome family in Indy.
Absolutely, yeah. All right, Gary, I will.
But yeah, if I'm in Indy, I'll hit you up. I'll treat you out, man.
All right, thanks, man.
Whoever else comes with you.
Sounds good. I'll talk to you soon, Gary.
Hey, right, thank you, man. How you too?
All right. Gary, I mean, Dre, you're next, but you got to pull over. Because if you were to get in like an accident, I wouldn't want to be involved. I wouldn't want to be. You pull over in a second? All right. You good? You good? You pulling over? All right. Cool, cool, cool.
I'm over.
What's up, Dre? How you doing?
Yo. Cool, man. Just in El Paso, Texas right now, waiting for another load. How you doing, bro?
Good, man. I feel like Purdy should have a Bass Pro Shop sponsorship. That's the next one. It'd be perfect.
I think that would be really good. Yeah, it would definitely match.
Right, right when you walk in the store?
Yeah. So the guys that I'm really excited about seeing, unfortunately, we're not going to be able to see them produce because you can't really do much without pads in these positions. The guys that – so on offense, it's going to be Dominique Puni. So a thing about Kansas is they run the zone stretch scheme, so they do a lot of the same things in the running game that we do. In Kansas. And also, he played center. He played guard. In his last 2 years, he started at left tackle. I think that this is the guy that we drafted that's going to fill that right tackle position when they finally get Colton McKivens out of there. And I really see him taking Colton McKivens' job, bro. I really see him taking Colton McKivens' job, and it's going to be Feliciano and Puni on the right side. As far as defense, the two guys that I'm really excited about seeing is the two Florida State guys. Renardo Green and Tatum Bethune. So I'm gonna start out with Tatum Bethune. I watched him in the LSU game. I watched him in the Clemson game, and then there was another game I watched him for like a half, but I was on the road, so I had to get going and I couldn't watch. But this guy, Tatum Bethune, he hits everything moving. If I can give him a comparison, bro, he plays like Dre Greenlaw. Okay. His 40 time wasn't so good, but Dre Greenlaw ran a 4.65. Yeah. The Greenlaw ran a 4.65 and Tatum Bethune went a 4.75. And then they're like, oh, where's only 6 foot? Well, Dre Greenlaw's, 6'1". So, like, it's an inch and a tenth of a second of a speed. So, it's like when I see that guy Bethune, he's really good at blitzing. He's really good at shedding blocks. And he hits everything moving. He's one of those guys you're going to have to calm down. It's like almost like Dre Greenlaw. It's like, bro, you're on the sideline in front of the ref. There's no need to body slam this guy. Just calm down a little bit. know what I mean? But he was the leader of that defense. And then we have Renardo Green. Renardo Green is extremely sticky. He sticks to the receivers, bro. He can get a little bit handsy, but he is a dog. He's extremely physical. I'm excited about seeing him, bro. So those are the three guys that I'm mainly most excited about seeing. But Dominique Puni, I'm telling you guys right now, this guy is going to be one of the future leaders of this offensive line, man.
Why do you feel confident that he's going to be a right tackle? I'm intrigued because, like, physically, I think if you compare him and Colton McKivens, they're pretty similar.
Right. Well, yeah. I think he's going to be right tackle because, of course, you cannot take Trent Williams' position until he leaves. But the reason I say that is because he played all around the line. And also, he has experience. He has experience in college. He's not one of those guys that's been there, 1 or 2 years. He stayed off 4 years. He just has the size and he has the athletic ability. Like when you see him get out and run on like screen plays, like, bro, he's just running up the field and throwing bodies. Yeah. You know what I mean? Kind of like when you see Trent Williams. Now, I'm not going to compare him to Trent Williams, but what I'm saying is when he gets out in space and he runs, he has a real good feel for where guys are going to be and how to make the block so his runner could be successful.
Sorry. No. You never see that from McKibben. You should see it from Young McGlinchey, though.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we've seen it with McGlinchey, but it's just – I don't know, man. McGlinchey just had a lot of weight fluctuations. He didn't know if he wanted to play heavy, if he wanted to play light. True. One season he'd come in and be 305. Another season he'd come into camp and he'd be like 290 and it looked like he's dehydrated. Yeah, crazy. So it was just weird. Yeah. But like I said, man, Dominique Puni, I really believe he's going to be a starter. And I think that he will shore up that right side because Feliciano was really good. He had a 93.2 PFF, and I think he didn't even allow a sack in the season. So I think it will really shore up that right side. Those are the guys I'm most excited
about. Do you think that Puni will start week one or he'll work his way onto the field eventually?
I don't think he'll start week one, but I guarantee, like, I feel like we're going to hear whispers like, this guy Puni is really good. Like, he's having some really good reps against these starters. And then, I don't want to wish injury on nobody, but if McKivitz gets banged up, bro, like, I think Puni, I think it'll be like Brock Purdy, right? Like, he gets injured, McKivitz gets injured, you know what I'm saying? And then he sits out, and then they're like, damn, Puni is really good. And they're like, all right, Colton, like, your swing tackle, if you're swing lineman, if anybody gets injured, you're going to come back in, but Puni's just too good to sit on the bench, bro. That's
how you know they could do it right tackle. They could do it right tackle. They do it right guard. They could platoon him. They've been having a platoon right guard for like the last 3 years. But you know what? We want to see McKibbitz. You know, we're gonna go with a drive, I mean, with Puni. Two drives.
Burford, it's Burford. You can't make that mistake on that third down, on that third and four in the Super Bowl. I'm just not gonna be able to get over that, bro. It's just like I can't get over, you know, the guy who's returning pits. Who do we have returning punts? I can't remember his name. He's not here.
Right, he's gone.
Yeah, Ray. Yeah, it's just like I can't get over you muffing a punt, and I cannot get over, you know, Burford, like, clearly missing his block. It's just like there's no excuse for that, bro. None at all. There's no excuse for that. So I see Feliciano taking that position. As long as he stays healthy, he'll be the right guard. And if McKivitz isn't on his game, man, Puni's, I think he'll take that right tackle position. I think he will.
All right. You think so? All right. Yep. What do you think of Ricky Pearsall? Stall.
Pearsall is, I think he's the for sure talent, bro. The guy is really fast, but the thing I like most is he's the technician when it comes to running routes. I mean, he was working out with some pretty good NFL, you know, Pro Bowl talent wide receivers this offseason. And like, I got to watch him last year, and I got to watch him a little bit of the year before. I think he's a for sure thing when it comes to being a route runner, man. And that's the most important thing when you're coming into the NFL as a receiver, is your route running capability, when to know how to break off routes. And he's really good in space. He's really good in space. So I think once he develops that relationship that Brock Purdy and Ayuk has, as far as, like, Brock Purdy knows where Ayuk is going to be and how he's going to break off his routes. So he knows where to throw the ball. Like, when he develops that relationship with Pearsall, and you got, you know, Ayuk and Pearsall on the other side, and then you got somebody like Cohen playing the slot. I know he's a small guy, but that dude, everything, the ball sticks to his hands. So I'm really excited about seeing a 4-4 guy and a 4-3 guy on the same side, and then Ayuk out there by his lonesome on the left side. That's going to be exciting to see, bro. Really exciting. I think those two are like the future of our wide receivers. It'll pretty much be like Ayuk will become Debo, like when Ayuk got drafted and Debo was the guy that was here. I think Cohen and Pearsall are going to be those guys who are going to be like the underclassmen to Ayuk. Like, Ayuk's going to be the guy who's making 30 million a year, and they're going to be two underclassmen. And then when he goes out, they're going to draft another guy and bring somebody in with Pearsall and Cohen. I really see those guys making an impact.
And all of a sudden, Ayuk would be like the slowest wide receiver on the field. That'd be crazy. Yeah.
One thing about Ayuk is his 40 time does not do him no justice, because that man be moving on the foul. It's like
they cracked him at 4.5. Like, he's a legit home run threat. Yeah.
Way faster. That's why it's like sometimes when I look at 40 times, it's like he seems to play fast. I mean, Dre Greenlaw seems to play a lot faster than 4.65 on the field. I mean,
like, you ran a 4.4 flat. Like, do you play like that? I want to know.
Man. Yeah, I mean, when he was at Florida, bro, he was torching cats. He was torching cats. Now, we're in the NFL. The technique is going to be better. Guys are going to be better at covering you in and out of your breaks. But his routes is just nasty. Pearsall's routes is ridiculous.
One thing that kind of concerns me about Pearsall, besides the fact that he broke out late, in his final year, he had 4 touchdowns.
Yeah.
4. And before that, he had 5. Don't you want to produce a little bit more than that? Like, I know he can, like, get your 5 first downs.
Yeah, and that's true. But another thing that we also have to look at is, you know, how does the coach that you're playing with call plays if he sees you as a red zone threat? Because a few games that I watched Pearsall, he literally got those guys up the field, and they just went to a different option when it came to getting in the end zone. So it all depends on that. But like I said, as far as the most important thing, route running and being committed to the game, like, a lot of his scouting, they say, like, this dude is all about football. He's all about football. That's what he's a gym rat. He trains a lot, and he's all about football. He's not a trouble guy. He's from Arizona, you know what I mean? So we got that Arizona connection, you know, Cohen, you know, Pearsall, now Brock Purdy. And then, you know, Ayuk is not from Arizona, but there's the Arizona connection there. Man, I got a really good feeling about those 4 guys, bro, playing together. I mean, they played against each other in college. They played against each other it's against each other in high school. I got a really good feeling about that, bro. I got a really good feeling about that.
It seems like they drafted Pearsall to replace Debo eventually. Like, Debo got his chance to be the hero in the Super Bowl, and he couldn't come through. And why couldn't he come through? One, he couldn't beat man-to-man coverage. And two, he couldn't catch passes that were, like, in his area. Like,
contested.
Drop pass, like, so I feel like that's two things that Pearsall does. That's
really good.
The two best things he does is get open and actually catch the ball.
Actually catch the ball. And, you know, and I don't want to make no excuses, but I really, after rewatching the Super Bowl, bro, Debo and Kittle were not 100%, especially Kittle. That injury report when we were like, he's going to play, he's going to be all right. No, Kittle was not all right. He was not himself in that Super Bowl. There was something else that was going on, and they just kept it under wraps. And I think it was that bull crap spongy practice field, which probably ended up the reason why we had a coach and a player tear their Achilles in the freaking Super Bowl, which is crazy. Yeah. That spongy field, bro, like – so we like I knew something was up with that spongy field, but it is what it is. Like I said, man, you guys watch out for Puni, and I think we have, you know, the future of our defense was just drafted at skill positions, and the future right tackle. But man, those receivers, I think they're going to be really good, Grant. I think they're going to be good, bro.
But like, to come back to your original point, Puni, that's the main guy you're talking about. If he becomes a right tackle for this team, that changes everything about this draft. Everything. That would be huge. I'm really curious. And they did say he could play all five positions, so they need a backup right tackle. It's not Jalen Moore. It's not Brandon Parker. So, yeah, it'd be interesting.
Yep. Most definitely.
All right, Dre. Good to see you, man.
All right, bro.
All right, man.
Good to see you too, bro.
Yep. Joseph, when will Kyle lock in and start on business? I think today. Today is the day he locks in. When will Kyle lock in and stand on business? Oh, that's never going to happen. Standing on business, Kyle Shanahan? If business were over here, he'd be standing over there. I always stand on business. That's one thing I do. All right, that's the end of the show. It's raining today, so why don't you stay inside and be safe. Don't drive. I'll be back tomorrow, do another show in the morning. Got to find someone to do the show. Who, you want to do a show with me today? Tomorrow? Raise your hand if you want to do a show with me. Let me know. Reach out in my DMs. See you guys.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.